What does it mean for the kingdom of God to be now and not yet? We're here, not there. That's a short summary, yes.
God is here now to help us with our daily worries and stripes.
Okay, so God's here to help us now, but there's more to come in a better place. Okay, good. Other thoughts or well, things to add, filling that out? We are on a journey. I didn't quite see where that came from.
It implies a timelessness where time is related only to this material existence.
Okay, there's something about time going on. We're stuck in time, and then there's going to be an eternal time. Yes, so there's a timelessness or eternity that is in God's kingdom. Chrissy, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, we are alive in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
being seated with him in the kingdom by God's given grace. And that's Ephesians 2.
Okay, wonderful. From Ephesians 2, we are seated with Christ. We are. Great. My other little question here is, what does heaven mean? Just any quick thoughts on that. What is heaven? How would you define it? Paradise? Someone's given us that.
It's where God is.
Where God is. Very good answer. Yeah. Heaven is where God is. So we're going to have, I like a good theological discussion, a little bit of a framing for our passage today. Got some circles here, and we'll talk through them, don't worry. In God's original creation, that we have a picture of in the Garden of Eden, the domain of God, where God is, heaven, the kingdom of God, completely overlapped with the place where we dwell. That's the picture we have in Genesis 2. God walked with them in the garden. They dwelt together. But then sin, wrongdoing, rebellion, death entered the world. And God can't coexist with those things. So those two domains were being pulled apart. That's the first picture that we have. Heaven domain, where God dwells, and the earthly domain, where we dwell, still overlapping a bit, but have been pushed apart. In his earthly career, Jesus announced the coming of the kingdom. And he, in his life, death, and resurrection, brought forgiveness, and he overcame the powers of sin and death. Not just individual human sin, but the power of sin and death. And brought this increasing domain, the kingdom of God coming. And it's here amongst us. He pronounced, the kingdom of God is amongst you, plural, amongst you together. And we know we don't have to look far in our own lives or beyond to know it's not here fully, not yet. The kingdom is here now and it's not fully here yet. In the age to come, the old will pass away, and the new will come. We read this in Revelation. And once again, the dwelling place of God will be with humanity. And there will be some things that are got rid of. The bad will be gotten rid of. But the dwelling place of humanity and the dwelling place of God, there'll be a new heavens and new earth, and those domains will be overlapping again, as God always intended them to be. Okay, how's that going? Bit of a picture for what we're talking about. And it may seem a rather theological introduction to my sermon, but we're going to be referring to these domains a little bit as we go through. We're at a section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is dealing with two distractions. One distraction is money, and the other distraction is worry. Worry we will be dealing with next week, although the two topics do actually fit together quite well. And probably many of us have experienced that at some time, that money and worry, those distractions can fit together at times. I'll acknowledge that, but we're going to deal with worry next week. Money can be a little bit of an uncomfortable topic to talk about, and I want to be very clear, I'll probably repeat this a couple of times through the sermon, I am not telling you what to do. I am not giving you any one-size-fits-all kind of answer. Everyone has different circumstances. The passage, as we're going to see, is a call for each of us to bring our resources and our financial situation and how we deal with them before the Lord and let His light, the light of His teaching, shine on us and guide us. I don't know what that's going to look like for you, but we're going to look at a couple of scenarios as we go through and just discuss them and think about what might that might mean. So, important note before we begin, I'm not telling you what to do, but we're going to look at some things and discuss what might that mean. So our reading, Jesus starts, "Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth." And he gives a reason. It's pretty clear. Moth and rust. Things decay. Things break down. And there's badness here. There are thieves that steal. There are untrustworthy people. It's not actually safe to store up your resources here. There's a good reason. It's not worth it because your resources are not truly lasting or secure in this age. Jesus then says, do store up treasure in heaven. Those problems aren't there. There isn't decay. There isn't thieving. Your resources in heaven will be lasting and secure. And he gives an additional reason here. Sometimes we think it's a challenge, but it's also an encouragement. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The other good reason to store up resources in heaven is that your heart will follow where your resources are. And if we want our heart to be increasingly with God, in the domain of God, the kingdom of God in heaven, then this is a good option. Our heart, the core of our being, ourselves, will be increasingly with God as we increasingly do this. It's an encouragement. It's a blessing to do this. This does raise a question. What are the treasures that we're talking about and how do we store them up in heaven? And Matthew gives us some clues. Firstly, in this passage itself, these couple of verses, we might think, well, the things I really treasure are the relationships and the people. Well, that's a very good thing. But this passage talks about storing up or treasuring up something in your storehouses, your treasure houses, and those are actually the same word. Do not store up your treasures or do not treasure up your treasures. And I hope you do not put the people you care about in your storehouses or keep them there, because that is not really what relationship is about. We can't do that with people or with our relationships. And it would be rather unloving and slightly weird. So this is not referring to those other things like relationships that we might value. This is talking about material resources. Money, possessions, savings. The fruit of our labour, the work of the efforts, what we earn, our material resources, what are we to do with them? This little section in the middle, it may seem like it's out of place, but it's not. We can be confident that Matthew has put it between two passages about money for a very good reason. There's a parallel passage in Luke, and both of these passages are about discernment, letting Jesus' light and truth search us. So just as a lamp in a room gives light to the room, Jesus says your eye is like a lamp. It's bringing light to the whole of yourself. And just like that, his teaching, the light of his teaching, is to shine in our lives, and we need to receive that. The light searches out every corner of the room. And Jesus says, a healthy eye lets light into every part of the body. That's how they understood the eye working at that time. So Jesus' teaching needs to be free to search out every part of our lives. This is an invitation to let Jesus' teaching touch every area of our lives. For self-examination and reflection, it's a call for discernment. Let your truth shine on every part of my life, Lord, and show me your way. So a couple of verses that are not out of place. In the middle of talking about money, there's a request for discernment. And then the second part about money. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll love one or hate the other. And the words are very strong. It's hate, despise, detest. Very strong words. And love, esteem, care for, nurture. You'll be devoted to one or despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's black and white. You can't do both. And some of you will know in older translations, that word there is translated mammon. Who's familiar with that word in older translations? Yeah. So mammon, this is not actually the normal word for wealth. It's the name of an ancient Middle Eastern god or idol, and the god of wealth and jealousy. Notice that they put the two together, those ancients. Put together wealth and jealousy. That's what mammon refers to. So this is also giving us a clue. We have to make a choice. These passages are about material resources, which we need. And in fact, this passage comes shortly after the Lord's Prayer, where we ask for our daily bread. We need resources. And we need Jesus' teaching to examine every area of our lives. We need discernment. Because we can only serve one master. Okay. So what we're going to do now, as I've said, I don't know your situation and I have no interest in telling you what to do or giving quick answers. But I thought we could examine a number of different scenarios and think and notice where does discernment fit into that. So the first scenario is from my life when I was a young adult, someone I knew, another young adult in my church, and he was determined that he was going to get a high-paying job. Was one of his key goals. And his reason was then he would have more money to give to God. And he would be a generous person. This was his goal in life. And he quite liked his toys. He liked boating and fishing and all sorts of other things, jet boats, jet skis. His aim was to get lots of money because then he could share his holiday house with other people and he could invest more in other people's projects, godly projects. At the time, I thought, which you're probably thinking too. Oops. We don't know exactly what is in other people's hearts. Thought maybe this is a chance for those two domains, the kingdom of God, to be increased. In a way, this is what we normally think of when we think of these passages, people giving money to godly projects to advance God's kingdom. Generosity, that's what he was talking about. Maybe that is God's calling on his life. But I think we can also see here the need for discernment. How much of this is a genuine desire to serve God? And is there any space for pride or greed in that kind of thinking? I don't know what happened here, how his life panned out. I don't know his heart. But pride and greed would not be adding to the kingdom of God. They would be investing in something that's pulling those two domains further apart. This person needs discernment. for God's light to search out every part of his life. And perhaps there are some tests. Paul writes in the letters that he has found a way to be content in all things, in much or in little. Would this person be just as willing if God called him to serve the kingdom by having a normal, a medium-paying job, or a low income, or even being on support or funding as a missionary? Would he be just as willing to serve the kingdom of God by letting someone else be the generous giver? Most of us like the idea of being the generous giver. It's preferable to us. Those will be some questions to ask in discerning what is really going on for this young man. Second scenario that I thought of. Families working through a deceased estate. When there is some, an inheritance to be divided up, but there are also compliance costs. And I have seen a situation where someone was made the decision in a family debate that he would just shoulder more of the compliance costs of sorting out the different aspects of the sale of the house. Because he had sufficient and money was coming to him. And if it invested in stronger relationships with his brothers and sisters in the long term, with his siblings in the long term, well, that was his choice. I've also seen people dealing with an estate, and you've probably seen the same thing at some point, where likewise there was a bit of a debate between siblings as to exactly how things got sorted out and who should pay for exactly what, when the updated building codes or whatever needed to be done. And someone insisted on absolute justice, on absolutely getting their share. What is investing in the kingdom of God here? Jesus actually deals with a similar situation. Someone comes to him and says, "Jesus, tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance." And his response was, "Beware of greed." Ouch. Justice is a kingdom value. Bringing justice, particularly when we seek to bring justice for others, is a kingdom value. But discernment is needed. In a situation, and I want to note, the situations I was talking about, everyone did have sufficient. No one was actually anxious about having sufficient to live off in the scenarios that I've given. If people have sufficient, what is going on? Space for discernment, letting Jesus' light shine in every corner of our lives. What are my motives here? Yes, justice is a kingdom value. And what behaviour is investing in the kingdom of God and bringing healthy and good things in this world and in the age to come? What might be greed and jealousy? The next scenario, we have five, we're up to number three. I remember hearing from a returning missionary describing when she first arrived in Africa, she and her husband and family. She's a Kiwi family, they were a Kiwi family, and they arrived and discovered that a lot of the other international missionaries there employed a local woman to do their dishes each night. It's like, really, you're employing someone to do your dishes each night? And gave this woman, different women in the community, 50 cents a night, the equivalent, to do their dishes. And their reaction as Kiwis was, "Well, we don't need to spend money on this. We can do our own dishes." The Kiwi attitude. Why would you pay someone? Why would you waste money, it would seem, on something you can do for yourself and do for yourself very easily? But she said when they arrived, they noticed and listened to what other people said. And the culture that they were in, the attitude to money was, if you have sufficient, why wouldn't you share it and create employment for someone else and give them the dignity of work? And actually it got a bit of more of a pointy end when they found out that many of the women, if their husband had left, 50 cents a day was enough for those women to feed their children on. And they had the dignity of being able to support their family. And the other options in that culture weren't necessarily so good. So what might have looked like the responsible thing to do, maybe to our eyes? Maybe that's pride and independence, and even selfishness. In a context where you could give someone else the dignity of work and the ability to provide and an honoured status in society, well, those things reflect the kingdom of God. When we look at Genesis 2, we saw that everyone had a place, everyone had sufficient, everyone had the dignity of a useful purpose. That's bringing the kingdom of God. How do we invest our resources? Does independence, Kiwi independence, which we value, ever get in the way of maybe stronger or bigger kingdom picture? Fourth scenario was when I started teaching. I started my first professional job in my 20s, and it was useful to me to have a pair of shoes with a little heel for formal school occasions. I could afford it. That was not the concern there. It was useful for me to do this, but I have orthotics and I have problems with my feet, and it's actually very hard for me to find shoes that fit well for me. So I'd been looking for shoes with a small heel that were still going to be comfortable and were going to be all right. And I've been looking and looking and getting tired, and I do not like shoe shopping. Some people get excited about it. I don't understand that. Tired and worn out. And in the end, I thought, well, the expensive shoes are uncomfortable. The cheap shoes are uncomfortable. I'll just get a cheap pair because I'm not going to wear them that often. Why spend money on something? I don't like them. I don't like these shoes anyway. And I bought a cheap pair of shoes, which I later regretted. And on this one, it's my story, I think I made the wrong decision. Because I went away and thought, yes, being responsible with money, making savings, not spending on something you don't need, or spending excessively, that's a good decision. But was this a false economy? Because, would you believe it, the shoes didn't last very long. And for someone to make a pair of shoes that cheaply, they were cheap shoes. There are hours of labour still in stitching things and putting that together. For someone to make the shoes that cheaply, what conditions have the workers been in? Because that's not a kingdom of value. Buying something that's so cheap that people have been treated poorly in its manufacture. And this is a really tricky one for us, because once upon a time, products were made locally. And you might know the boss, and you might know the workers, and see the conditions, and who was a trustworthy employer, and who cut corners, and whose business you wanted to support. We don't see this in a global economy. There are people all over the world that we never get to see. It's a really tough decision for us. If this is something you are interested in, Tier Fund do research each year, and they do an audit of major clothing brands that are sold in New Zealand. It's only the major ones. Well, it's actually quite a lot, but it's not the really, really small boutique designers. But of the major brands, you can see they've done the research. Do they treat their employees well? Do they have policies? Do they train and empower their employees? Do they consider the environment and their processing? And you can see, is Farmers better than Kmart or the Warehouse? Which one's coming out on top? Or where do I want to spend my money? Which brands are good? I recommend it to you. If anyone's interested, I can get a copy of that resource to you. But there we go, another scenario, scenario number four. What is investing in the kingdom in the way we use our money? Finally, I just want to mention savings. And again, we need discernment, because it is wise and sensible and responsible to save and to ensure provision for our future. That's a part of taking responsibility for ourselves. And I know some here are in a stage in life where you're depending on those savings. It's a very important thing. And I want to notice that saving and holding on to savings can in itself become an idol. We just need to notice that. We just store up treasures in heaven. We need to ask Jesus to shine his light in our life. What is wisdom? And where am I investing? Am I investing in the kingdom of this world, or am I investing in heaven? And like I said, please notice I'm saying it is responsible to and wise to have savings and to take responsibility for your financial circumstances. Okay, a range of scenarios. I told you I'd probably say this three times, the third time. I am not trying to tell you what to do. I have no interest in doing that. Every situation is different. And on top of that, different people respond in different ways. Some people don't want to think about this, avoid the topic, and just make spur-of-the-moment decisions. Some people get quite tied up and even anxious about making decisions. And again, this is part one of a two-part, because Jesus next, straight after this, says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you'll wear or where you will live and what you'll eat, because your Father in heaven knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. So that reassurance is in the very next section of Matthew. But for today, Jesus calls us to consider which kingdom we are investing in. The kingdom of heaven, which is future-oriented, it will be in its fullness in the future, and is coming in here and now, and we can be starting to invest in it now. Are we investing in that kingdom, or investing in things that are not lasting? Things that are prone to corruption and decay and loss. And a call to let the light of his teaching examine our lives, because we cannot serve two masters. Remember the good news. Our hearts will increasingly be brought into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. Where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also, ourselves. Seeking to use resources in a godly way, that brings us closer to God. Second piece of good news, as we've just said, Jesus said, don't worry about what you need. Seek first God's kingdom. Does involve being responsible. Seek first God's kingdom. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. And as we seek to follow Jesus, his grace is bigger than us. It's bigger than our weakness. It's bigger than our own confusion and uncertainty. We can ask him for wisdom and guidance and direction. Let's take a moment in prayer. Jesus, we find it challenging sometimes to talk about money. And we join with the prayer earlier in this passage, in this part of Matthew. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask that you provide us for the sufficiency that we need. We also pray with the passage that immediately follows this. Thank you that our Father in heaven knows what we need and is aware of our needs and is able to provide. So in the here and now that we find ourselves in, help us to be good stewards of the resources that you've given us. Give us wisdom Give us discernment. May your light shine through our lives. May we increasingly honour you in every area of our lives, Lord. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus.